Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, last night, Barack Obama was in Chicago and speaking to thousands of cheering fans. Don't know if you watched it or not, but I did. I listened to the entire event. And in his words, ladies and gentlemen, he said he wanted to take the opportunity to thank the people after they have been so appreciative of him in the last weeks since the election. However, as some people said, and I agree, it appeared really that Obama wanted to return to ground zero for him and his roots as he emerged originally as a community organizer, because it is there that he wanted to walk off the public stage as a community organizer. And personally, I think that's exactly what happened. Now, we're going to talk about a few of his comments in this first segment. I'm going to be joined by Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who is host of Prophecy Today. He's going to participate with us in this discussion. And then as we walk into segment 2, 3, and 4, we're going to be with Jimmy, and we're going to talk about some very, very critical issues revolving around Israel. We're going to talk about the implications of that December 23rd historic UN resolution condemning Israel. And stay tuned here now with us, because we are going to talk about a potential surprise second resolution by the United Nations that would take this even a step further. You heard me right. This is a matter of discussion. Don't want you to walk away. And then we're going to tie all of these things into biblical prophecy and ask Jimmy to help take us and put these things together as they really do fit. And the picture is emerging that is just an amazing thing, in my opinion. Now, if you have been listening else to other news, perhaps the president-elect is just, I think, finishing a press conference in New York, dealing with some very, very critical issues there today. We don't have time to comment on those today, so we will have some commentary on what he said tomorrow's program, because I think they're significant in what he's been trying to do to move himself clear of any kind of entanglement with special interest and conflict of interest. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. But with that, I'm going to welcome you to the program today, the Sam Rohr. Gary Dahl will be with me. David Kistler is traveling still. And as I mentioned, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung will join us. Now, Gary and Jimmy, just kind of curious, did either one of you listen to the president's exiting president's speech in Chicago last night? Gary, did you?
Oh, I sure did. I didn't get it right from the very beginning, but I guess he was into it about 10 minutes when I turned it on. Quite a speech, Samuel, quite a speech.
Well, it was, Gary. It was a long speech. And yeah. And I just want to go on a number of things. I was busy. I was kind of typing down named thoughts. I ended up with 2 pages of brief notes. One of the things I took down, because this has been picked up on a lot of other press elsewhere in highlighting what he said, but I want to ask you your comment on this statement, Gary. And then I want to go to Jimmy and ask him a comment on another one. But this is one I noted, and this is one that's being reported. He said this, quote, "America is a much better and stronger, is much better and stronger because of what we've done," end quote, and then said other things. Gary, do you agree with that statement that America is better and stronger? And if not, why not?
Well, first of all, you know, as a part of that particular statement also, he went on to say that we have made him a better president. Did you catch that? So, you know, that was in addition to what he said here, after he said that America is much stronger because of what we've done. But if I were to agree with that particular statement, then I would have to come up with a different definition of the word better and stronger, because I cannot agree with it at all. I mean, you take a look at our military, and I know we don't have time to flesh this out, But you take a look at the military, you take a look at our debt, you take a look at where we've come morally, you take a look at how the Constitution has been violated, look at where his leadership has led us spiritually, take a look at the attacks that are on the family now because of his leadership, transgender, same-sex marriages, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No. Mm. I do not agree with that statement. I think that the United States of America is weaker, much weaker now than what it was 8 years ago when he went into office. I'm just thankful to God, Sam and Jimmy, that God graciously has allowed us to get through these 8 years, and hopefully there's much better yet to come.
Gary,
terrible statement.
I agree with you tremendously, and I think the key point was there. Define the terms. Remember, hope and change. People did not ask for a definition, and we got his view of it. Same with better and stronger. Define the terms, and you come to a different conclusion. Jimmy, he made another statement last night, the president, that really made me kind of sit back a little bit. He said this in regard to the Constitution. He said, quote, "We give the Constitution meaning. We the people, give the Constitution meaning." He said it's nothing on its own. It's just a piece of parchment. That caught my attention. Jimmy, did that jump out to you? And what do you think about that?
Absolutely incorrect. It purveys to us a philosophy of life that is contradictory to the Word of God, number one, and the Bible, number two. The Constitution is more than a piece of parchment. It is the law of the land, and wise men put that Constitution together after much prayer, much study, much discussion. They came to a conclusion this was going to be the law of the land. And in fact, they patterned the Constitution of the United States after the Bible. Now, let's just think about this for a moment. We do not make the Bible God's word. He makes it God's word. We read it in light of the fact that what he is telling us is his plan, his movement to go forward in the direction he lays out in the Bible. Well, the Constitution basically is directing the people of the United States of America. It's not the people directing the Constitution. No, it's not what the people think the Constitution says. It's what the Constitution does say, and that's the reason for the fact of when we have those men who, and women who are going to be interpreting the Constitution, we need to understand they must look at the Constitution objectively, not subjectively. What's the Constitution say? That's looking at it objectively. Subjectively is what can I bring to the table? What additional thinking do I have other than what the Constitution says? The problem I see is you're going to have total confusion if there is no absolute. I have had a privilege of raising 4 children, 9 grandchildren, upcoming now 5 great-grandchildren, and in my home, I am the absolute. Otherwise, they're going to have total confusion, don't know what to do. That's what
that's
the Constitution does for the family of the United States of America.
Jimmy, great comment. Ladies and gentlemen, as we said, walk away from this by saying, define your terms. And in regard to his statement about the Constitution, Reed really was saying is that a living Constitution, it is what you think you meant, want it to mean, not what it is. That's what Jimmy said. Absolute truth versus morally relativistic truth. That distinction, ladies and gentlemen, that's what he was saying. Now, in the second segment, stay with us. We're going to come back with Jimmy, and we're going to say, what did that UN resolution say on December 23rd? Implications of it.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But weighing different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today and how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
He was the grandson of Princeton President Jonathan Edwards, whose preaching began the Great Awakening Revival. He became the president of Yale, serving for 22 years. His name was Timothy Dwight, and he died this day, January 11, 1817. Finding many of Yale's students enamored with French Enlightenment, Timothy Dwight often visited with students on campus, answering questions of faith. By the end of his tenure, not only did the majority of the student body profess Christ, but many became ministers. Timothy Dwight wrote, "Where there is no religion, there is no morality, and the ultimate foundation of life, liberty, and property are buried in ruins."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, in the balance of the program, we're going to be pursuing a general theme that I am calling here today, Barack Obama, John Kerry, the United Nations, and the world versus Israel. What's up? In this segment, Jimmy DeYoung, host of Prophecy Today, I want to bring you in here now in a specific way and look at this particular part here of the UN resolution that was passed on December 23rd, beginning of Hanukkah, 2 days before Christmas. It's clear in that resolution that which condemned Israel as an illegal occupier of Palestinian territory. It also positioned, though, I think, and you can comment on it, the U.S. as the lead world power in indicting Israel by the fact that it was the United States and that masterminded that resolution and the vote, which was a hurried vote, almost a secret vote, and the abstention that the U.S. withheld that confirmed its involvement, and then as well as John Kerry's December 28th impassioned condemnation of Israel and justification of that vote, which he summed it up by saying, Israel, you can be Jewish or you can be democratic, but you can't be both at the same time. It seems that there's a real issue here that's still boiling. Now, let me ask you this, Jim, if I can, and weigh in as you see fit. What else does this December 23rd UN resolution actually do to Israel? How will it affect Israel-Israeli relationships with their enemies around them, including Hezbollah, Iran, and others? How do you see it?
Sam, the December 23rd United Nations resolution brought great harm to the state of Israel. I've had the privilege of knowing Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, for a number of years, having had a number of conversations with him. Most of the time, he's a very composed individual. He's a brilliant man, IQ very high in the stratosphere almost, and he has been the longest ruling Prime Minister of the state of Israel. You don't stay in that position by going after everybody, getting mad at everybody, and it is showing off in public how irritated you are. I've got to tell you this, the Prime Minister has walked away from his demeanor in days past. He has been livid with the fact that the United Nations would pass a resolution only because the United States would abstain from voting for 50 years. There's been a relationship between the United States and Israel. They don't have to agree about everything, but they said, let's don't hang out our dirty clothes in the public. We'll talk about it privately. We'll come to some type of a resolution, but let's don't take it to the United Nations. What this resolution did was legitimize the Palestinian claims that Israel actually are occupiers of their land. But what land are they occupying? There was never a Palestinian state, so how in the world could you occupy something that was never in place in the first place? Now, Hezbollah and Iran have been backing the Palestinians. They've been arming the Palestinian terrorists, giving them the weaponry to go in and take out some of the Jewish people with an idea that they can overthrow the Jewish state of Israel and come to power as the only state, the Palestinian state there. The resolution also, according to the Palestinians, this is what they said. This was their headline from their media. It says the Palestinians now have a right to murder Jews. Hezbollah and Iran, of course, that's their desire. That's the direction they want to go, and they are ready to strike. So they're in total agreement. And I've got to tell you, Hamas, Islamic State, all the other terror organizations are on the same page, they believe. Now they have the same right, and they have put Jewish people in Israel as targets in a target practice that they want to do to try to finish off the Jewish state of Israel.
You're saying from the world's perspective, Jimmy, that really the resolution has tended to isolate Israel in the minds of the world's eyes. It is also strengthening the hands of the enemies of Israel that are surrounding them. Now, let me go ahead and ask you to comment on this, because this is something that has not been out there in regular news. I found it only in a couple of places, but Benjamin Netanyahu just recently said that he believes, expressing fresh concerns, I'm reading from this article, that there may yet be one final push beyond this UN resolution on the 23rd of December to add the UN pressure on Israel before the administration departs on January 20th. There's a French-hosted meeting taking place that is going to talk about this. Here's another article that says, I'm reading that was published in Breitbart News just 2 days ago on the 7th or the 8th. In that it says this, the title is President Obama Has Gone Rogue, and only one man can protect American democracy the next few days as the president-elect. This is what it says. On January 15th, 2017, with only 5 days left after 2,917 days in office, President Barack Obama is planning once again to feed Israel to the international wolves. The move is intended to tie the hands of President Donald Trump and is a direct repudiation of the will of the American electorate, who rejected Obama's calamitous foreign policy and a repeat performance by his Secretary of State. And then it goes on. Tell us about that, because this is more than significant. What about this potential of a second resolution that perhaps could actually create a Palestinian state and really tie the hands of this incoming President Trump?
Well, let me just remind everybody, Prime Minister Netanyahu says he has documented evidence that this resolution was actually put together, even the wording of it, and then the move to vote on the resolution, as you said, almost in secret. He says he has the documented evidence. He will give that over to the new president, Donald Trump, after January the 20th. You were talking about a meeting coming up. It's in Europe. It's in Paris. It's this Sunday when 70 nations of the world, again, are going to come against the Jewish state of Israel, which, of course, that resolution has given them now power and lifted up the Palestinians. You know, the Israeli leadership is very much concerned about the dropping of the other shoe by President Obama. He has been so vindictive over the years as it relates to the Jewish people, the state of Israel, and in particular, Prime Minister Netanyahu. I want everybody to remember that the partition plan, November the 29th, 1947, put in place the opportunity for a two-state solution. Way back then, the United Nations voted the partition plan will give a piece of real estate in what we know as Israel today to the Jewish people and a piece of real estate to the Palestinian people. Palestinians rejected that. They decided to try to destroy the Jewish state of Israel. They sent their children, their wives, their elderly over across the Jordan River into Jordan. They said, look, give us a couple of weeks. We'll wipe this young nation off the face of the earth. Well, in fact, that is exactly what they're trying to do now, go back to the partition plan and eliminate the possibility of a Jewish state. Donald Trump, I've got to tell you, Sam, Donald Trump is not going to be able to reverse this resolution. I don't see how it could happen. Remember, 15 members of the United Nations Security Council would have to get together, have to vote on a reversal of the resolution. I would have to suggest Russia and China are permanent members of the United Nations Security Council. They will never vote to reverse this decision by the United Nations Security Council. It's almost like the law of the Medes and the Persians. Be very difficult to reverse. They might be able to bring another resolution that may weaken the one that was brought up December the 23rd, but they're not going to be able to reverse the one that has caused so much harm already.
Jimmy, you know, at a time when Iran is expanding their influence in the Middle East, and in addition to that, Saudi Arabia is expanding their influence as well, in your opinion, why did the United Nations proceed with this resolution at this particular time? What message were they trying to send to Israel and its enemies? And as an expert in prophecy, what prophetic ramification do you see in this resolution?
Gary, it's SOP, Standard Operating Procedure, for the United Nations and their resolutions. Since 1955, 155 resolutions against Israel have been voted on and passed by either the General Assembly of the United Nations or the Security Council. There's been one resolution, one, against the Palestinian people. So this is SOP as far as the United Nations is concerned. You've got to remember the majority block of nations, and I think it's about 197 nations total, they are Islamic or they fear Islam. They are so concerned about the power of the Islamic world and what may happen to them if they vote against Islam that they fall in line with the Islamic activity. I've got to tell you, there's more United Nations Holocaust ahead. And I use the word meaning what I'm saying, because they're going to continue to be that world body that votes against the United Nations. I got an article on my website, prophecytoday.com, about the more United Nations Holocaust ahead. It's prophetic, as the world will turn against the state of Israel. And they will do it under the influence of Islam
and the nations will come, especially in the Middle East, those Islamic nations and the rest of the world will join with them against it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Update on Israel and the Resolution. As we said, there could be a second one coming as a surprise attack out of the UN by Barack Obama before the inauguration. Be disastrous, just like the one we just had. And the fact that anti-Semitism is alive and well, coming right out of Europe and the United Nations, that's clear. Now, when we come back after the break, we're going to continue with the biblical implication, the prophecy of what's happening there.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. President-elect Trump says it's like Nazi Germany. The leaking of false reports about him by U.S. intelligence agencies denies a report about the Russians having dirt on him for blackmail purposes. At a press conference in New York, as for any hacking order by Russian President Vladimir Putin,
he shouldn't be doing it. He won't be doing it. Russia will have much greater respect for our country when I'm leading it than when other people have led it.
He says negotiations with Mexico on the funding of a border wall will start as soon as he takes office.
Mexico, in some form, and there are many different forms, will reimburse us, and they will reimburse us for the cost of the wall. That will happen.
He says he plans to put his business assets and investments into a trust with his adult sons and a company executive running the Trump Organization while he's in office. This is a Fox News alert.
Your child deserves the best. Shouldn't that include an exceptional education? PA Leadership Charter School is a kindergarten through 12th grade online public school serving students across Pennsylvania. Voted number one cyber school in PA, PA Leadership Charter School provides a flexible but structured approach to education. Visit PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785 to learn more. That's PALCS.org. PA Leadership Charter School is training tomorrow's leaders today.
A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Now, as we continue in the discussion here of the United Nations resolution against Israel, the potential of a second one right prior to the inauguration, which is a serious potential, there is, with all of these considerations and their geopolitical implications, with all the nations strengthening the hand of Hezbollah and Iran and all the enemies of Israel, there is a very, very strong biblical and prophetical component that we want to look at on this right now. We've said on the program many, many times, and Jimmy, you've made it clear as well, and we totally agree, that you really cannot understand the news of the day unless you look at it through the prism of biblical prophecy, particularly when you're talking about the Middle East and Israel. Now, that being said, let's go down this road here a little bit. Do you believe that that December 23rd UN resolution and a potential subsequent resolution as fitting into biblical prophecy? And if so, how would you put that in there?
Sam, you're right on target. Anybody who has a worldview has to base it upon the Word of God, not man's comments or any journalist writing an article. It has to be based on the Word of God, and in particular, the prophetic Word of God. We haven't mentioned yet what the potential next shoe to drop might be, another resolution that President Obama could bring to the United Nations Security Council, and even the last day, the last 24 hours of his place in office as the President of the United States. The concern that the Israeli leadership has is that he would go to the United Nations, get a resolution passed that would confirm a Palestinian state. I repeat this often, but it's the truth, and we've been listening to lies for too long. There has never been a Palestinian state. The Israelis are not occupiers. They may have an opportunity to be in disputed territories, but let's discuss that. They are not occupying land that belonged to the Palestinian people. There was never a Palestinian people. If that another resolution, as we've been referring to it, does come to the United Nations Security Council, and they vote that they are recognizing the United Nations, the governmental body represented all the other nations of the world, they would be made and included in the nations of the world, and they would have what they want for. That's what Mahmoud Abbas and the Palestinian Authority have been working for. Now, as that relates to Bible prophecy, the ancient Jewish prophets talked much about it. There is more judgment pronounced against what we refer to as the Palestinian people today. They would be the descendants of Esau, the Edomites, the Idumeans of your study of God's Word, which would include personalities like, of course, Esau, Amalek, who was his grandson, Haman, the villain in the book of Esther, Herod the Great, the king of the Jewish people, supposedly at the time of Jesus Christ, and all the way down to Yasser Arafat. Don't have time to develop and put the meat on that skeleton, but the book of Malachi says that these people, the Palestinian people, the Edomites, will return and rebuild. And the Lord says, I will call your borders the borders of wickedness and have indignation against you forever. If you look at the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 35, he says that these people at Mount Seir, that's where the Edomites, the descendants of Esau, went to live when they were put out of the promised land. That's in the area of southern Jordan where Petra is located. He says in Ezekiel 35, these people will rise up, they'll kill the Jews, verse 5, and then in verse 10, steal their land. Well, that's what's going on. The little book of Obadiah, smallest book in the Old Testament, talks about the finality of the Palestinian people. They're going to be as if they have never been because they are trying to destroy the Jewish people, and God will not allow that to happen. So there's great prophetic significance with what is going on at the United Nations and the potential for that another resolution.
Jimmy, you know, there can't be another person in the United States of America who understands prophecy like you do and who can bring practical application and interpretation. I want to thank you so very, very much for taking your time to be with us here on Stand in the Gap today. It's just amazing what you can bring out of scriptures, prophetically speaking, and I appreciate it. Sam, we all appreciate it. But let me just delve into this a little bit further here. We have been told, and I don't know if you can confirm this or not, but we have been told that there are Bible studies that have taken place in Netanyahu's house. I don't know if that's accurate or not. But aside of that, is there any reason to believe, and of course you've been to Israel many times, you know the folks over there, is there any reason to believe that the Israeli leadership, to any degree at all, is looking to biblical prophecy for comfort and guidance during this particular time?
Let me confirm to you, Gary, that indeed there are Bible studies that are going on in Prime Minister Netanyahu's home every Sabbath. Every Saturday, he gets together with his son, who, by the way, was one of the winners of the Bible contest that takes place. That's a national event that happens in Israel, and his son was able to win it, so he had to study the Bible. We were talking about, of course, the Old Testament from cover to cover. And so they do have Bible studies. It's not being led by any Christians. It's being led by Netanyahu, his son, and some of the experts on archaeology, some of the great Jewish sages that are alive today, etc. So I can confirm that is the case, as has been the case, even with Ben-Gurion and Menachem Begin and others, when they had Bible studies in their home. Netanyahu does believe on the surface of all of Bible prophecy, and he's not deep into the prophetic passages of God's word. But for example, to illustrate that, he went to Moscow. He met with Vladimir Putin. He said to the president of Russia, Ezekiel 37, Mr. President, has been fulfilled. And you might remember that's the dry bones of prophecy. When the bones come together, that's the regathering of the Jewish people from around the world. Nobody can not recognize the truth in that prophecy. The Jews have come back. After 2,000 years, they've been gathered together. And then the restoration of a Jewish state, those that flesh being put on those bones, well, in 1948, that's a mark in the sand that indeed that did happen. The Jews are yet to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, which is the breath of life being breathed into them in that Ezekiel 37 passage. But that will happen in a day, Zechariah 9:3 says, when the Messiah Jesus Christ comes back. So there is leadership in the nation of Israel. About 75% of all Israeli Jews are God-conscious, and indeed they have an understanding they're in a land that God promised to give the Jewish people, and they are God's people. And by the way, John Kerry was kind of ignorant of what is the truth when he said you can't be Jewish and you can't be Democratic.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, they are Jewish. That's an absolute, and they've become the only democracy in the Middle East. But I've got to tell you this. I had this last week with me on my radio broadcast this last weekend, and the first of the week also on my 15-minute program, the Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing, the spokesperson for the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin, you remember in the times of Jesus Christ, was the court for the Jewish people. There were 70 members of the Sanhedrin who were responsible for keeping halakhic law, the Jewish law among the Jewish people. They were to direct the movements and activities at the temple, etc. Hillel Weiss came on and told me live on the air that the resolution was against the Bible, the one that the United Nations passed, and he said, and against the people of the Bible. He and the Sanhedrin issued a communique to the United Nations and President Obama, and what they said in the communique is unbelievable. They said, hey, look, you need to pay attention to Bible prophecy. Just read Bible prophecy. So they're talking to the leaders of the world, the United Nations and other nations, he said in the continuing letter. He said, are blind to God's plan. You must see the light. And the actions that you are doing today, listen to this, he said, are inviting the Messiah. Now, that's a court. The Sanhedrin is a recognized court among the judicial operation of the state of Israel. Amazing. Amazing what they said. And they're just living as they're supposed to be living. Although they're wrong about the next temple, that's not going to be the one that brings Messiah. They're right on target in what they're doing as it relates to the United States. This United Nations resolution.
Jimmy, that is something I hope that our listeners are really, really, really picking up because, you know, as we look at the fulfillment of prophecy, we look at current events, on one hand, in every current event, there are the people involved who may have their own view of why they're doing what they're doing, but above that, God is working out his master plan. And somehow, some way, as you say, the people in Israel who have rejected the Messiah to some point are going to turn to him. It really seems like the Lord is softening and preparing them this very moment, isn't he?
Oh, he certainly is. And that 144,000 Jews that will be the evangelists during the tribulation period are alive and well in Israel today. I was talking with John Walver, the
late president and chancellor at Dallas Theological Seminary, a great prophecy conference, prophecy scholar, and he said, they are alive and well. I believe it as well. And the Jews are ready to turn to the Messiah, Jesus Christ.
Amazing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that this really thrills your soul. Now, as we go into the next segment, stay with us because we're going to go to a passage in Zechariah 12. It talks about the burden of Jerusalem, a cup of trembling. And look at this specifically in relationship to what Jimmy has just shared, what's happening, the UN resolutions, and what Barack Obama has actually been working towards. Ladies and gentlemen, something significant is happening. We're going to look more at that when we come back.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words, but if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Newly elected Pennsylvania representatives and senators were sworn in last week, taking the oath of office and preparing to get down to business for the new legislative term. In the new freshman class of legislators are some strong pro-life and pro-family members who arrive in Harrisburg eager to use their influence to make a difference on the things that you and I care about. It's a time for optimism and idealism on their part, and a time for you and me to realize that true change comes when all of us get involved and engaged. First order of business, pray for your elected officials, as the Bible instructs us to do. Next, consider taking time to introduce yourself to your state representative and senator and let them know what issues you care about. Lastly, connect with us at the Pennsylvania Family Institute to stay abreast of issues so you can exercise your citizenship throughout the year and not just at election time. The best way to do that is through our website at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Freedom's Foundation at Valley Forge welcomes former Homeland Security Intelligence Officer and Foreign Policy Research Institute Fellow Jack Tamarcio to speak on politics, hacking, and the new Russia. All are welcome to attend this fascinating talk on Wednesday, January 25th at 7 p.m. at Freedom's Foundation. For directions and RSVP, go to www.freedomsfoundation.org or check out our Facebook or tweet us at FFVF.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
In this last segment, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue on this theme of biblical prophecy, how it relates to what's happening in Israel, how the United Nations resolution, December 23rd, the potential other one coming up prior perhaps to the inauguration, how these things fit together. And Jimmy made it very, very clear that the Sanhedrin and others are absolutely understanding what's taking place in light of biblical prophecy. They don't have it all understood properly, but their hearts are being prepared, it appears. Jimmy, I would like to bear down on a specific passage in Scripture here. In the book of Zechariah, there are three verses I'm just going to read just very quickly. I want you to comment on them, because it almost as if we're reading today's newspaper. It starts out by saying this. It says, the word of the Lord for Israel saith, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, this is God saying, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, and they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And then verse 3, and in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all of the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Jimmy, I thought it was interesting that it says, that's not talking about Israel, it's talking about Jerusalem. And it appears today that the enemies of Jerusalem and Israel are lining up, or should I say perhaps already lined up, both on the ground with Hezbollah and Iran, but now the world, through the world via the UN resolution led by the United States. It appears that God is making Jerusalem a cup of trembling, just as he said he would. Would you bring forward the application, perhaps, as you see this passage, as it bears down on the resolution, because it was the resolution regarding Jerusalem specifically. Talk about that.
Well, Jerusalem, of course, is going to be the center of controversy, and that's what verse 2 is all talking about. It talks about Jerusalem being a cup of trembling. Now, that's an apocalyptic phrase, and when you go through the Bible, Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah, and Revelation use apocalyptic phrases. In other words, it's a symbol communicating an absolute truth. You have to find another passage of Scripture in order to interpret what it's talking about. Proverbs 23 would be the location where it says that when the cup full of the juice of the vine grows deep red and starts to move, it is intoxicating. And so you bring that application back now to verse 2. It says when Jerusalem is intoxicating to those who control Jerusalem. Back over in chapter 1 of Zechariah, he talks about in verse 14, 15, that indeed there's going to be a people who come to power controlling Jerusalem. He said, I'm very aggressive. I'm jealous, he says, but the Hebrew flavor, I'm aggressively possessive of my city. And so when you start messing with Jerusalem, and in essence, when you're talking about Jerusalem, you're talking about the entire Jewish state. Now, what excites me about it is the first verse you read, because he said, I'm the creator. Hey, remember what I did? I stretched forth the heavens. I lay at the foundations of the earth. I formed the spirit of man within him. Now, I'm the creator, and I'm going to direct what is going to happen. And let me tell you, Jerusalem's going to be the center focus of controversy. Be ready for that to happen. I've talked to rabbi after rabbi in Jerusalem when I was there meeting with these men. And Sam, I have to tell you, they believe we are living today in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 2. Then you come to verse 3. It says Jerusalem is going to be a burdensome stone. In other words, a stone that will be too heavy for you and I or anybody to be able to handle. And that's exactly what's going on. You see President Obama stepping out in this resolution. You know, the central focus of that revolution was against the Jewish settlements in Israel, which includes the Judea and Samaria, but it also includes the Old City and the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. That's the apple of God's eye, Zechariah chapter 2. You don't mess with Jerusalem. And if you start doing it, it's going to be a burdensome stone. And in fact, if you start doing it, I'm going to cut you up in pieces. Now, we're just reading from the prophetic word of God. God's word is absolute. We don't bring any meaning to what the scripture says. God tells us what he is saying, what he is going to do, and that's exactly what's going to happen. He will cut up any enemy in pieces that goes after Jerusalem, after the Jewish people, after the nation of Israel. Other parallel passages, for example, Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 18 through chapter 39, verse 6, says that he's going to wipe out the Islamic world. All of those nations listed in Ezekiel 38, Psalm 83, Daniel chapter 11, are talking about the alignment that is being formed, the coalition of nations, the lowest common denominator, they're Islamic. That's coming about in the Middle East, in the Islamic and Arab world, and he's going to wipe them out. But let me take you one more step. When you go to Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 to 45, in the context there, starting in Daniel chapter 11, verse 36 through verse 45, it's describing the Antichrist. The Antichrist who's going to come to power. And when you get to verse 40, he says the Antichrist will go into Syria, the king of the north, the first nation to make a move against the Jewish state and wipe them out. Hello, Isaiah 17 says Damascus will be wiped out in a day. And then you look at the other list of nations that are combined with the other passages of Scripture, and you see the Antichrist is going to be dealing with these situations. And finally, in verse 45, the Antichrist, still on the scene, actually being a tool of God himself at this point in time, the Antichrist will turn to the Jewish people and say, put up the palace and your tabernacle on the holy mountain of God. That's the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And then it says, between the seas, Sea of Galilee in the north, Red Sea in the south, in the east the Dead Sea, in the west the Mediterranean. And the people, the Jewish people, are ready to put that temple up in Jerusalem right now. We're seeing everything come together. This resolution has only enhanced the possibility of prophecy being fulfilled. It's so exciting. We better get looking up. That rapture's about to take place, I guarantee.
You know, we've often said that even though everything seemingly is falling down around us, yet this is a great time. It's an exciting time for us to be living, and I'm glad to be in this particular time myself, Jimmy, and I know that you are as well. We just have about 45 seconds left, and I'm just wondering if you would please close us in prayer, particularly maybe for the nation of Israel. We've been trying to close our program in prayer over the past months, and if you would be willing to do that and pray particularly for Israel, we'd appreciate it very much, Jimmy.
I'll do that, Gary. God bless. Father, thank you for your nation, your people, your chosen people. Thank you for protecting them down through 4,000 years. You're not going to let up now. You're going to continue. Doesn't matter who, President of the United States, United Nations, they can come against Israel. It's going to be a burdensome stone to them, and you're going to win the victory, and I praise your name for what you're going to do. We lift up Israel to you today, Lord, and we look for the rapture of the church to happen at any moment.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jimmy. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. And I want to remind you, you can go to our website at standinthegapradio.com. You can pick up the archives to this program and to all of those that precede it, both for the Today program, our weekend program, and our minute. Pick it up, share it with others. Lots of information in this. You probably didn't have time to write down all the notes. Go back and pick it up, listen to it again. Fantastic information, the news of the day brought alive from the pages of Scripture. That's really what it's all about. Thanks for being with us. We ask you to join us tomorrow, 23 hours from now. Until then, stand in the gap for truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township. This is AM 1180. AM 1180. W-